Isn't it a great experience in life when you come to know that no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, no matter how bad you feel about yourself, that God loves you and he wants so much to have a relationship with you that he sent his son into the world? I know that life is precious. God formed us in the womb. But there is no act that we have done here on earth that God cannot forgive us for. I've been associated with the Sussex Pregnancy Care Center for about 20 years now. And over that 30 years of the center's life, they have focused on men and women that are thinking of having an abortion and loving them out of their decision. We have no way of being able to follow up with those who have chosen not to have an abortion after they have disconnected with the center, but we know many babies have been born that might never have seen the light of day without the loving and compassionate staff and volunteers at the Pregnancy Care Center. We've now added another mission, and I know that we focused on the unborn. But the challenge now is the hurt, the pain, the suffering that men and women have gone through after realizing what the abortion had done to their lives. I want us to think for a minute about a number. It's a number that's outrageously large that it boggles the mind. It's equal to the total population of Delaware multiplied 60 times, or it's the total population of every man, woman, and child living today in the states of Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York, or it's the total number of all the brave men and women of the United States military who have laid down their lives in every war fought by this country since 1776. That's some 240 years multiplied by 37. That number, that ungodly, outrageously large number, would not equal the total number of children taken in abortion since 1973. Only 43 years. That's over 60 million unborn children. But through prayer and focusing on what God's will is for the Pregnancy Center, the board has been broken and realized that God has such love for the millions of hurting men and women who struggle with the aftermath of their decision to go through with an abortion. They can't forgive themselves that single act of selfishness, and their lives have been changed forever. I'd like to introduce to you right now an outstanding member of the staff at the Pregnancy Center, the one who introduced the board to this new wonderful ministry, Teresa Bolden. I want you to listen to every word that she has to say and the touch of the Heavenly Father flowing through her words.
Good morning. I'm still back there at that song, "You're a Good, Good Father." That's a beautiful song and so appropriate. I do want to thank you for this privilege to stand here today. And it is mind-boggling when we think of the number. We think of the number of children that are lost that could have been the next president, could have been the next doctor, found the next cure, been the best teachers, mothers, grandmothers. It is a phenomenal loss to this world, to this nation. But if you were to just to look around, we talk about the world, but today I want to talk about the church, because what we find in the church is a host of silent sufferers. When we look at the numbers, we have one and five in each congregation. Every day, every Sunday, we come together. One in five have been affected by the choice of an abortion. And that is one in five women. That's not to count the men who, for whatever reason, have fathered or been unable to progressively father those children. We have men who, some of them didn't even know about the abortion. Some were the ones who forced the abortion. Some paid for the abortion. Some stood up and fought and pleaded that, I didn't look at my watch, so I'm going to need somebody to make sure, stood up and thought, you know, fought and pleaded that she would not. But because of the world we live in and women's choice, they had no say in the matter. So when we add in the men, it's countless people who are suffering and hurting through the choice of abortion. 43% of the women of childbearing age and beyond have had at least one abortion. And with more than 1 million women aborting each year in the United States, that equals 200,000 Bible-believing Christians yearly. So we put on our mask on Sunday mornings and we grab our Bibles, we grab our purses, we grab our children, and we hustle into church, but we're sitting in silence and suffering. Abortion has no prejudices. It doesn't come with a certain face. It doesn't come with a certain name. It doesn't come with a certain status financially. It affects all of us in one way or another. And silence has been a powerful weapon of the enemy, second to isolation. It is that silence that makes truth remain hidden and makes the lies flourish. And lies come in all different forms. I often tell people when I talk about abortion, I talk about a myth that I learned of years ago. Lie and truth out, nice, bright, sunny day, and they say, I'm bored. Me too. What do you want to do? I don't know. Well, let's go for a swim. So they go down the street to the pond, they take off their clothes, and they're just having fun in the pond, just swimming and having fun. And all of a sudden, truth looks around and realizes, wait a minute, I'm by myself. What's going on here? And he gets out and he realizes, wait, my clothes are gone too. So now truth is upset and starts down the street, headed back to the house. Now, we being the humans that we are, we see people and we see a commotion and we want to follow and see what's going on. So all the townspeople are following truth down the street. Truth gets to the house, knocks on the door, let me in, where are my clothes? And lie comes to the door dressed from head to toe in truth's clothing. Fits perfectly, suave, debonair. And lie says, excuse me, truth says, those are my clothes, what are you doing in my clothes? And lie says, these are mine, they've always been mine, they fit perfectly. And the townspeople who are watching are stuck with a decision. Do we believe the naked truth? Or do we believe lie in truth's clothing? And that is the very place where women who've had abortions have found themselves. They've bought into the lie. And then they sit in silence. They know that they've been forgiven. They know that there's a God who is a good, good father who loves them and says, I love you. But it is hard to forgive themselves of that one irreparable mistake. We can't breathe life back into that child. We can't put that child back together. So we live in silence, sitting on the church pews, sitting in the chairs, suffering. And that silence for abortion is just like a splinter in the flesh. There's no healing until we get it out. So it festers and it affects every area of their lives. I stand before you and I can tell you more than statistics, I am a post-abortive woman. 25 years ago, next month, marks the date that I chose to buy the lie. It marks the date that my husband had no say, did not know, had no choice. I walked into an abortion center without his consent, without his knowledge, and chose to end the life of our baby and lived in utter silence, utter shame. I had been born and raised, brought up in the church, knew the way, but bought into the lie that abortion would be a quick fix, run in, get it done, get out, keep on going with life. And so I live with many effects. Physically, when I was married and ready to have children, I buried 3 children because of the damage to my cervix. I had one child, got up to my 6th month because of damage to my cervix, could not carry the baby. This child was born, lived for 12 hours. I watched her suffer to live, fight to live, knowing that less than a year prior, I had chosen not to give my first child an opportunity to live. Not one time, but 3 times, I've buried my children. The emotional effects, my self-worth, second-guessing who I am, being very overprotective of the living children that I was blessed with, anxiety, the anniversary month, all the what-ifs, shoulda, coulda, the guilt, the shame, the depression. The spiritual effects of how long do I live like this? How long do I wear this mask? How do I keep smiling? How do I look at other women with their children, with their babies, knowing what I've done? How do I sit when the preachers are banging on the pew, on the podiums and saying, "He that sheds innocent blood"? You all know that scripture. Every Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, every Mother's Day, silent sufferers sitting in the churches. But I found Rachel's Vineyard. Rachel's Vineyard is a place, is an opportunity for a safe place where women and men who have been affected by abortion can come and they spend a whole weekend in the presence of the Lord. Everything is covered under prayer. Everything is done with scriptures and with meditations and scriptures I had heard as a little child that I had grown up with, but never applied it to my life, to my situation. And I learned that God is a good, good father, that he loves me. And although I cannot go back and make any changes, it is not his desire that I live and suffer and die with this regret. I'll never be able to go beyond. I have 3 children, 3 adult children, and every time I look, I often think, oh, I would have had a 24-year-old. I remember when my first got her license. Well, I remember. I remember when to watch them graduate. All those things, there will always be that hole there. There will always be that regret. But when I talk about it, I can tell you that there is so much freedom in forgiveness. There is so much freedom in learning that God loves me. And even though I knew it here, the battle was always here. And even to hear someone talk about abortion or to hear someone say something, it would put me in prison walls until I really learned who God is. And I'm not saying that people can't recover without Rachel's Vineyard, but I will say Rachel's Vineyard has been around for almost 25 years, has been in 47 states, 35 countries, 15 different languages. And we have countless people, countless testimonies of how Rachel's Vineyard has freed them. And we have an upcoming event, March 11th through 13th. And it is in an undisclosed location because of confidentiality, but it is open for men and women who suffer from abortions. Help you find healing and renewed healing. Because one thing that I learned is there are layers of healing. And I have been involved in this ministry for almost, 17 years. And we've been doing Rachel's Vineyards for the last 4 years. And what I have found is that each time I go through a weekend, God offers me so much more. I could stand, because it is the love of my life, I could stand here and talk to you about Rachel's Vineyard for a long time. But I brought a video. It's about a 4-minute video. And if you will watch it, you'll see that there are different faces that go with the post-abortion, and it could be for anyone, and that healing is available to everyone. So if you'll watch this with me.
was the first thing I thought about was abortion. That's what I'd heard, how abortion was there to help me, how at the age of 14, there was no way I was going to be able to have a child, you know, that I couldn't do that at the age of 14.
And I was a 60s kid, and I got very promiscuous and was doing a lot of crazy things and wound up pregnant.
I was dating a young woman named Diana in college, and she was getting ready to go to medical school, and she got pregnant.
After a couple of days of being pressured and crying and begging, we have to have this child. He's our baby, and he forced me to go and have the abortion.
It wasn't really my decision to make, even though it was my child, that I really was just, you know, kind of a bit player in this whole drama.
I think really the main thing, that my biggest concern was, what were people going to think about me? What were people at school going to say?
I could hear a lot of women sobbing, crying. Some were just dead silent.
I wake up from the recovery room, and I felt so empty all of a sudden. Like, and I was crying, and I had no idea why I felt like that. Because here, like I said, I thought I was doing the best thing that was for me.
She was crying, and she told me, they took my baby. I saw them take my baby. And I knew, you know, in my heart that what we were doing was wrong.
When I told them I was pregnant again, an anger outburst, and you have to have an abortion. I said, I can't have another abortion.
It was very clear, me or the child. I don't remember a whole lot of that second one. What I remember is, he took me, paid for it, picked me up, and I got drunk that afternoon.
I started drinking a lot. I got almost completely away from church. And I do remember that sporadically I would go to church and I just felt so guilty.
I started going to church with my husband. This is years later. This is like 8 years later, and I was going to church with him, and we were dating at this time, and every time I'd walk into the church, I was like crying and stuff, and I don't know, I didn't even know why.
And I think for a lot of men, you know, to show that you're hurt by something like this is almost a sign of weakness.
Scary to make that call, and probably the best phone call I've ever made in my entire life.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Recognize that these are treats, are a place where you're not there to be judged. You're there to be healed by the power of Christ.
So I went to that weekend retreat.
I don't even know how to begin to describe that first retreat of mine. It was unbelievably comforting and healing.
I finally got that closure that I needed, and I was able to truly grieve and let it all out, you know, and then just and give it all over to Jesus, and just knowing that, you know, that Jesus had forgiven me, and it was just taking me to forgive myself.
The retreat was probably the most profound life-changing thing that's ever happened to me.
God has touched your heart and brought you to this moment, and this is the beginning of a wonderful opportunity of experiencing God's mercy and forgiveness.
So in closing, you may be wondering, okay, so what can I do? How can I help? We offer these Rachel's Vineyard retreats through the Sussex Pregnancy Care Center at least twice a year. Our budget runs over $2,000 each retreat. And when we want these women and men to be able to come without the stress of money. So the only cost we give to them is about $100, and we cover the rest. And so you'll see out in the back there are baby bottles. That's one way that you can be of help by donating, and that would help to cover for someone who is unable to pay. And what we do is we offer, you tell us what's affordable. And some may only be able to give $5, some may be able to give their $100. Some pay it forward and later they pay for someone else. But your donations help us with that. And also, you can pray for us always. And then lastly, I just want to say that the other thing that you can do is having an awareness. What I learned being a post-abortive woman is when we're sitting in women's groups and in churches, what you say can either free someone or it can keep them in their prison. So when we say things like, I can't imagine having an abortion, or how could someone do that? That's a part of keeping them in their prison. But when you say, there's hope, I know of the Sussex Pregnancy Care Center, I know of a place, then you're helping to free those people. Be a part of being a voice, of being a ministry, and thank you for your support. God bless you.